welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buffett.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
We have a funny thing happening here today, guys. We're just in the middle of a conversation. We hear action.
So and you know,
we're sort of fumbling and we're doing it.
Like we do in daytime. We're just keeping the train
on
the rails.
With it. Today, I'm really excited because we have this beautiful star from General Hospital.
Stunning.
She plays Jordan Ashford, who was played by Vanessa Antoine when I was there.
Correct.
She works with Donnell, who we had.
Friend of the pod.
Donnell, yes.
Guest of the pod.
We had him on here earlier. He plays Curtis. And
but this
her
is
name
about
is
her.
Tanisha Harper. I'm super excited.
It's going to be a great interview, and she'll be with us when we come back. Harper, welcome to Soapy.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
This is a gorgeous set, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. You're very beautiful. And
you look great on our set.
You look great on our set.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's very kind of you both.
Well, maybe that's a good place to start. What do you think with your modeling? Because you're beautiful, obviously.
Thank you.
You sort of got your start modeling. I mean, before that, I read that you wanted to get into medicine.
That is true. I had started a medical program when I was in my teens just before graduating.
Yeah, because didn't you graduate when you were like 16 or something like crazy?
I did. I think it was about 16 and a half. And I started community college first because I don't think I could go to college right away. And I kind of wanted to go with my friends. So I did about a semester at a community college taking courses and doing a medical program. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. I think that's what my parents definitely wanted me to do.
Are they doctors?
They are not, no. My father's an architect. And but I thought that was something that I was interested in doing, but there was other callings.
Yeah. What did you want to specialize in?
I don't know, actually, now that I think about it.
You just wanted to go into medicine.
I just want, yeah. I mean, at that point,
interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be fun, but then the fashion world kind of took me away, and then I started college, and I was like, you know what? Let me wrap this up so I can, you know, go off and be a model and do all the things.
That kind of started though for you before before graduating, right?
Yes.
Weren't you at a mall in at home in Arizona?
I was. I was in Phoenix and I was at a mall, I think shopping with some friends, and a woman who owned a modeling agency there had seen me walking around and she's like, "Oh, do you model?" And I'm like, "No." She's like, "Would you want to?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not sure, you know." I didn't really hear many good things about it. But I knew I loved fashion. So I was like, "Well, let me talk to my mom and we'll see." So I told my mom, "You know, this lady says I could be a model. What do you think? You know, make some money, you know, while I'm after school." She's like, "No, I don't think so." What did she say? "That's ladies of the evening. Those are models." I was like,
oh my goodness.
I was like, "Mom, no, you know,
I want to be a model, not a hooker."
Yeah. I was like, "Let's talk to her, you know, see what happens." And so when I was there at the mall, the woman had taken a photo of me, like a Polaroid. And so my mom talked to her. And when she had the conversation, she decided, "I don't think this is for you. They're, you know, very much about academics. They wanted me to focus on that." And me wanting to supposedly be a doctor at the time. And I would say a few weeks later, the model agent called my mom and she said, "I took some photos of Tanisha and we sent them to Nike." And at the time, I was also an athlete. I ran track. And she said they want to do a campaign and they want to take her on this tour around the U.S. with Nike. And she's going to, you know, do the photographs and the posters and campaigns and also these conventions where people get to talk to her because she's also an athlete as well. And my mom was like, "Okay, well, what are they paying?" And they told her how much they're paying. She's like, "Yep, she can do it. Sign her up. Let's go."
You were 15?
I was 14, I think, at the time.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
So were you excited or were you like, "I'm going to leave school"? And
I was excited. I mean, I knew leaving school wasn't an option, but they made it work to where it was after school. Once in a while, I would, you know, get taken out of school to go do a job or whatever. But it was fun. And I think my parents liked that I was able to make my own money, but still stay in school and be able to focus on my academics as well. Until I started, once I got to college and then my career started to get bigger and bigger, Then it was harder for me to stay in school, and because I was traveling everywhere. And
but didn't they make you finish school?
Oh, yeah.
Get your degree?
Oh, yeah. Yes. My mom was like, I don't care what you do. you just need to have a degree. So she's like, so if you don't want to do medicine anymore, and at this point I was at the University of Arizona in Tucson. She's like, if you don't want to do medicine anymore, that's fine. But, you know, you need to get a degree before you do anything. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, then at least you have something to fall back on. So I was like, all right.
Are you happy about that? Because, see, my parents didn't do that. And I didn't graduate from college. And I wish I had a degree.
You know, I think that I ended up.
He's laughing at me. Why would you ask that?
She almost went to clown college.
Oh. Why do I think I might, when I was doing my research on you guys, did I hear this? Did you mention this before?
Oh, it's been mentioned before. Yes. No, it hasn't come up in a hot moment.
It hasn't come up in a hot moment, but he does love to make fun of me.
You know, hey, it's never too late. You can always go back to school.
It's never too late.
I do talk to my mom about that, though.
It's never too late.
She said, well, at least you make people happy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but are you glad you did that? You finished school?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is always nice to have something to fall back on. And I will have to say that the skills I learned in school helped me to be able to manage my life moving forward. I was doing a lot once I graduated college and went off to do my modeling and came to LA. Then I was modeling, I was TV hosting, I was producing, I was doing all these different things. And I think being in school really helped me with my time management and the degree that I ended up choosing, which was media arts and business, general business, that helped me with, you know, everything that I was doing within all of the different realms.
I also think this business can be very challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think if you don't have that solid foundation that you clearly have, it's that much harder.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a big difference between the parents who are pushing their kids into modeling or acting versus the ones who are resistant but still wanting to support but making sure that you are going to be set up for success no matter what.
Exactly. And it really helped me to look at being a model or an actress as a business, because it's easy, especially when you're younger, to get swept away by the glitz and the glamour and, you know, the job of it all. And you don't often take it too seriously sometimes, you know, you're whisked
away. Maybe you take for granted that maybe the success is not always going to, you think that maybe it'll always be there and you spend all your money and then suddenly you're not working.
Which is, you know, it happens all the time. So I think I always had that in the back of my mind, which my parents always made sure to tell me, you know, this isn't going to last forever. You know, good thing you got your degree. Oh, if I wasn't working for a while, it's like, well, now, you know, you can go back and get that resume going. I'm like, okay.
Relax. I've been out of work for a week, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. They don't understand that, though, because when you have like 9 to 5 and they see like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to get that paycheck. It's going to take 3 months, but it's coming, you know.
Yeah. like the steady work.
Yeah.
I know my dad was the same. So you went to LA first. You didn't go to New York because as a model.
Yes.
You know, most models are in New York.
Exactly. I would go to New York a little bit for jobs here and there. But I thought that maybe starting in LA, because it was closer to my family, would be a better step. And then, you know, continue going. Also, I wasn't that tall, so I was more of a commercial model. I did a lot of the beauty campaigns and advertisements for, you know, a brand like a Ralph Lauren or something like that, you know.
But would you do runway or not?
I did do runway, but most of the runway was in the States for like Nordstrom's or whatever kind of brand would come to LA. I was never really tall enough to, you know, go off to the Paris runways with the girls that are 6 feet tall, but I was able to make a.
Is the business very different here compared to New York? I mean, for modeling, we know nothing. I mean, clearly we know nothing about modeling.
No. It is. It's a lot different because Los Angeles is very commercial. You have a lot of swimwear and, you know, beauty
fitness
and commercials. And then New York, even though I did work there as well, you had a bit more of the high fashion. A lot of the beauty campaigns were there as well. I went back and forth between Los Angeles and New York for the modeling. But then when you're in LA as a model, they kind of like to see if you can act, you know? So they're like, oh, let's see if she can, you know, say a few words on camera. And actually my first job was Bold and the Beautiful. So I did.
Work.
Mm-hmm. So yes. I had my few little lines on there. And then my agents were like, huh, well, let's see if you can book something else. So I just, that was kind of how I got into acting.
Wait, so were you doing, when you first got here, was it mostly print work?
Yeah, mostly print when I got here.
And then were you also doing commercials?
Commercials, yeah. So it started with print and the commercials and then the TV shows and the films. And it just
Before we get to the TV and the films, mm-hmm. I'm curious, because like she said, we know nothing about modeling.
Mm-hmm.
What was that time like for you? And was that work satisfying? If you had been told, hey, this is going to be a successful career that you can make as a model for as long as you want to make it mm-hmm. without ever dipping your toe into acting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would have been happy doing long-term?
To be honest, I don't think I would have done it long-term. It's an interesting industry. And as I got older and it started to progress, we got really into social media. And when I was modeling, you had to build your portfolio based on all your advertisements. And it was a lot of work. Your campaigns, your magazine covers. You had to do that in order to get the big jobs, to get the big campaigns and all of that. And so we worked really hard to get there. And I noticed this shift that all of a sudden when I was going into a job, I could, you know, be working with somebody who was like, this is my first time ever doing a campaign, and it'd be a big campaign. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, your new face. Yeah. I, you know, they found me on Instagram. I have 1,000 or 1,000,000 followers. And I was like, oh, and I just wasn't quite there where I was ready to go to that part of
that. Is a full-time job in and of itself.
It's actually job. In our mm-hmm. industry as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they hire people just based on their quote followers and
mm-hmm.
and it is a little disheartening and kind of gross and
yeah.
I don't know.
And to each their own,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
I think it's great if you can make a career doing
yeah.
that. That's amazing. But that wasn't for me. And I saw that it no longer mattered if I had 20 magazine covers and did these prestigious campaigns mm-hmm. because I didn't have 1,000,000 followers. And probably at the time, I probably didn't even have an Instagram. So mm-hmm. I think that was kind of a tipping point for me where I was like, you know what, let me kind of rein in all these different things that I'm doing besides the modeling and really focus on one thing to just do that, do it well. I also think too, with modeling, it was just about go and be pretty. And it was a lot of pressure because,
oh God,
a lot of pressure. At that time, you know, you show up,
imagine.
If you have a pimple, you know, you hear everybody whispering, oh, what are we going to do? Because, you know, now you can just retouch it with your phone. But back then you had to pay people to go and retouch it and they had to send it out. So it was a big deal and they made sure you knew or you could get sent home. So it was a lot of pressure to, you know, just stay perfect all the time. And I didn't really find it meaningful after a while. Needed more.
Do you still feel any of that pressure? I mean, I know we've talked about it, just like getting older in this business, also just acting is also visual.
Mm-hmm.
And do you still feel a little bit of that pressure? Because you were coming from a modeling world where
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of pressure to look perfect.
Yeah. You know, I think the great part with acting is that I don't feel that pressure
mm-hmm.
as much as I did when I was a model, but it does hinder opportunities, I think, within the acting world sometimes because people do look, you know, they'll say, oh, well, she's too pretty. Not that I'm saying I am, but, you know, she's too pretty for this job, or they won't even consider me for different roles. And often, you know, those are the roles that I might get offered, just like, okay, and not getting meaningful stories or projects.
So funny, I wanted to talk to you about this.
I was going to say, because I think oftentimes beautiful people can be just put in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, rather than listening to what you have to say, people might just want to watch you talk
mm-hmm.
and not realize that you are a full-formed person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask if you're... and I know it has opened doors, but has your beauty ever, have you ever thought of it as a hindrance? And it sounds like maybe, yes, maybe there's opportunities you're not getting.
Absolutely. And I hear it from agents and, you know, people that I've worked with that, you know, certain roles I wouldn't be up for or, you know, I remember once there was a role I had gone out for, I wanted to go out for, but she's too pretty for it. I auditioned for something else. They eventually ended up like a year later bringing me back to do the role that I wanted to do because when they saw the audition, they're like, oh, and I went in just very normal, no makeup. And I'm like, I can do this. You just have to give me the opportunity. You sometimes you just see, you know, one side of it. So even, you know, with auditions, it's hard sometimes to get auditions because they'll just say, oh, you know, too pretty, won't be believable. And I'm like, no, I can look different, you know, take the hair out. Let's get the natural thing going. Like, you know, I can give you whatever you want. That's my job, right? Yeah. We're chameleons. Yeah. You just have to be able to get that opportunity. So I do sometimes have to work a little harder for that.
Yeah. That's a challenge.
It is. It is what it is, you know. So,
well, let's talk about General Hospital.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where you play Jordan.
How did that opportunity come your way? And talk about that experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was actually during the pandemic.
Oh.
So, you know, there wasn't much going on at the time. And I received the audition. And I remember looking at I had been telling my agents I really wanted to do something serious, drama. Most of the work I'd done had been in the comedic world. So I really wanted to try drama, something to really challenge so I could be taken a little more seriously for these type of roles that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so this opportunity came up. I think initially it was, they didn't say what the role was for, but it was, I thought I was going to be playing a district attorney. So I read for it and I felt really good about it. You know, sometimes there's these auditions where you're like, okay, then get it. And then there's sometimes you're just like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, you just feel it. And that was how I felt about this one. It couldn't have come at a better time because it was a pandemic. Nobody was really working. I surely wasn't at the time. And they called me back in for the screen test. And I remember going into the screen test and I think there was about 10 of us. And everyone looked different. It was, you know, you had all different colors, sizes, looks, ages. And I was like, huh, where are we going here? Because I really felt confident at the time, like, oh, yes, I'm going to get this. And then I look around, I was like, uh-oh.
Sounds like they didn't know either.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, maybe they don't know. But once I finished and...
Who did you screen test with?
I was supposed to screen test with Donnell. But
you know, Donnell, friend of the pod, guest of the pod. Yeah.
Yes. But he wasn't able to make it in and I ended up screen testing with Dominic and, Zampara. I don't know if I say his last
name.
And I love him. And Fanola.
Nice.
And they were wonderful. And I remember when I finished, I just adore Fanola. I remember when I had finished one of the scenes and I think we were doing another scene or another take in a different way. And she was like, yes, you got this. Oh, you're going to get this. That was great. She was so positive and just so lovely. And it made me feel so good. So I was like, if these are the type of people I'll be working with, if I get the job.
She would know because she teaches.
Yeah.
She
would. Yeah. Yeah. She's fantastic. And so that was what she said to me when I was finishing up.
Well, it's nice because you were replacing, I mean, that character hadn't been on the canvas for quite a bit, I think. Yeah.
There were two other Jordans.
There were two. Okay. So I was with Vanessa. Mm-hmm. So then they replaced her. Yes.
Yep. No. And then there was another girl before me, and Brianna.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's right. Yes, of course.
And I think there was about a maybe 6 months, maybe a year, I'm not positive, in between her and me.
And that's sometimes that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because the fans get attached to an idea of what that character should be.
Absolutely.
But 5 years later, you think five years later? We don't know. We can't remember how many years, but amazing.
Do you feel any sense of responsibility to sort of do anything that those previous actors had been doing? Or did you really just say, I'm going to take this in my direction?
Well, you know, initially I didn't know that was the role I was going for. Oh, right. So I thought So I thought it was for the district attorney. So I think about once they confirmed I had booked the job, I think about a week before when they sent the script to me, they're like, okay, you're going to be playing this character, Jordan. She's been played by two other girls, but they didn't want me to go in and maybe try to emulate how the other girls' performances were, just to make it my own and do my own thing. So I think that helped a lot because I didn't really know anything about the character at all. And it's kind of hard to find them online, you know, at least at the time, to see other people's performances. Yeah. So I just kind of had to... I was forced to make the character my own.
How was it for you to go from like, because a soap is such a unique experience in that there's so much material and there's so much to learn. And what was that like for you?
Oof.
Because a lot of people, you know, by the way, it's not for everybody. Like we do have actors that come on, they just can't handle all the material. It's just too much.
It's a lot.
So I'm just wondering what that first month was like for you.
Yeah.
Did they ease you into it or did they throw it all to you?
No. Yeah. And they love to, you know, probably to see if the actors can handle a lot of dialogue. Yeah. So they give it, when you're new on the show, they give you a ton of dialogue. I think the hardest part for me was understanding, because my character had a lot of different relationships with a lot of people on the show, because
a little
first
bit of a history.
She was a police commissioner. So there's a lot of history with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And so all the other actors were trying to explain their relationship with my character. So I kind of understood, but it was a lot. We have a lot of people on the show. So I'm like, okay, now you are the 20th person that Jordan's had a relationship, you know, a friendship, something with. And I'm trying to put all of that together and remember the lines and make a connection. Yeah. So I definitely struggled, I would say, at least the first 6 months, trying to absorb all of this information and understand the dynamics with everyone. But eventually I got there and started getting into the rhythm of how everything worked. And I think also too, because it moves so fast.
Yes.
So, you know, it's so daunting. You've got all the cameras around you and then you're trying not to block the person's light, but still keep your light. But then, you know, you got to walk over here and pick up something, but you have to pick it up on the third word in the fourth sentence of the paragraph, you know? So all of that was a lot for me in the beginning, but I think I've got the hang of it.
That's still a lot for me.
I think so.
That's still a lot. If they ever say to me, hey, you're going to move on this line, I'm like, good luck. I could walk or talk.
Yeah. We're not doing both.
You're limited. Yeah. He's very limited.
Pat my head. Very limited. Run my tummy.
No, it's a lot. It is a lot because it is so, the pressure of the pace and then again, making sure you're not being the problem, right? Making a mistake.
Yeah.
That's going to cause time and money.
I remember in one of my first few weeks on the show, one of the directors, he loves a ton of movement in the scenes. And I was like, oh gosh, like, oh, I'm not ready for this, but I can do it, you know? But he loves the scenes where it's like, okay, you're going to come over here, you know, pick up some papers and you're going to take a sip of your drink. And it's like, but it's on this specific word. Then you're going to put it down. Then you see something over here. And I'm like, oh boy. And then I've got to still remember my lines at the same time.
Especially because you're in an office probably a lot because you're the commissioner. Are you still the commissioner?
Yes, no.
You've upgraded, I think, right? or something?
I ended up going after doing the commissioner for a few years to deputy mayor.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You're very official though.
Yeah.
Let's deputy just put mayor. It that way. You're very official.
And then from there, I was working alongside Jeannie Francis. She plays the mayor on the show. And then Jordan decided to take it upon herself to go undercover to get this bad guy, Sidwell, who's come into town. So I resign from my position, and now my character has been working for him undercover, but he's a very wealthy man. So my character, she's kind of, enjoying that life. She's nice. All of a sudden walking around with her fancy bags and her cars. And
but she's still undercover?
She's still undercover, yes. He has no clue.
I was going to say.
Well, didn't you just have a car accident?
I did.
People were worried you were going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jordan was in a big car accident, and now her face is all scarred and what is she going to do with her life now?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
it's a soap.
Yes.
I read somewhere that, when you were young, you would visit your grandmother. I don't know where she was, but you would visit her and you learn and you would sew.
Yes.
She taught you how to sew.
Yes.
Do you still do that?
I don't do it as often as I would like, but yes, my grandmother, bless her, she just turned 99 years old.
What? Wow.
She's incredible. She, I used to go visit, she and my grandfather in Alabama, Ozark, Alabama, every summer for about a month. And that was our project. I would go and I'd get like a Vogue magazine or something, and I would just scroll through, pick out an outfit. It would always be something very intricate. It always had like a matching hat and like, you know, a little two-piece outfit. And but I was very specific. And then we would make these outfits. She was fantastic at sewing and she loved fashion. And so that was always something really fun.
So sweet.
That sounds amazing.
And she actually would model locally just for fun. And like the local malls that would have like a fashion show mm-hmm. for one of those stores. So I would go and watch her when I would come into town. So I always thought that was really fun.
She must have loved when you became a model and yeah. seeing all your photos.
Yeah,
because
she was really into fashion. And yeah. that was kind of where I got into it as well. She yeah. loved that. Love, love, loved.
And you like mm-hmm. interior design as well, yes?
Yes, yeah. That's
well, having an
passion.
Architect father, I can imagine mm-hmm. that kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah. Growing up in that world. My father's meticulous and loves design, so I kind of got that bug. So I've always really been into collecting antiques and just really interesting pieces.
You guys would
furniture.
Have a great time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's my girl.
I love
I'm
it.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Very much the same. Really yeah. into it.
If it's different and unique, I love it.
yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm. You should see her house. It's spectacular. No,
I
you
bet.
Do. It's a beautiful house.
I bet.
So talk about working with our buddy Donnell. Is that a lot of fun?
It is. Yeah. We've been... I would say I've been working with him since the start of the show, even though we were no longer married when I came onto the canvas playing Jordan. He had started dating someone else and eventually married someone else. But I was always kind of lurking around and like, you know, every shot would be me watching them around a corner, you know, while they're hugging and kissing. So those scenes are always hilarious. But yeah, we have a good time. It's fun. Yeah.
Is there anything outside of the show that you would like to pursue?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm actually working on, my own film that I've been writing.
Good for you.
Based on a true story, a very wacky true story. So that's something that we've been working on.
A true story of yours?
Yeah.
Is that something you want to talk about or do you want to save it for when the movie comes out?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to have to save it because it is an unbelievable story.
Okay.
But it's pretty fascinating. I'm very excited about that. We're currently working on the script right now. So
who's we?
I have a writing
partner.
Yeah. And we're working on that. And hopefully that'll be something that we'll be able to get out in the near future.
Is this your first time writing or is that something you've done before?
For a movie, yes. But I did write for many years. I was an editor of a magazine and I wrote articles on everything under the sun. Wow. So
you like writing?
Love writing. Love writing. Yeah.
That might be something you mm-hmm. want to do.
You know, I think at one point when I was doing it as one of my many careers at one point, it was great. But I think it's a tough industry and I'm already in a tough industry. Yeah. So I'm like, let me just keep going here. But if I can do it in addition to
yes.
acting as uh-huh. well and not it be my sole means of income.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's nice because it keeps my brain going. Yeah. It keeps me alert.
I think sort of, you know, having multiple pots on multiple burners is always a smart thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had a period a few years ago where a friend of mine who's a writer director, we got the rights to this book and we tried to find a writer and finally he's like, what if we wrote it together? And I was like, great. And mm-hmm. then halfway through, I was like, this is not my lane. It's hard.
It's very
really hard.
Yeah. I have a friend who he's a brilliant writer, and he's had some big movies that have come out. And, you know, I just, it's a lot of work. I see he's just buried in, you know, his office day in and day out, you know, getting these stories together. And it's a lot.
I you feel like really be into I'm, it. I'm married. My husband's a writer. And I always say too, it's like our jobs are hard, sure, but they start with a blank page. Like,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. I know coming to the paper every single day or like there's a lot of discipline involved because it's just you. And if you don't feel like writing, then what, you know, like I don't know, for me, I wrote something too. And it was just like, oh, if I'm not in the mood, I'm not in the mood. So.
And when it's your sole career, well, you better be in the mood
because
you've got to, you know, you got to answer to your agents that are like, where's that next script?
Deadlines and all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can we talk about Mariko? Are you wearing
your necklace? Mariko. No, I am not. Where is that necklace actually? So I was born in Tokyo, Japan. And my mother had named me after, I think it was either one of her good friends or a movie star that she liked when we lived in Japan. And she thought that was a pretty name, which I love.
It is a pretty name.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, Mariko-san.
So is your mom from Japan?
No, but my parents lived there. My father was a major in the Air Force. And so they were there for, gosh, I want to say about 10 years. He was a civil engineer in the Air Force. And he retired by the time when we had moved to Arizona. He retired there and just went into his architecture. But yeah, they did their thing.
How cool is that? How old were you when you moved?
Gosh, I want to say maybe I was 4
or
5. I could be making that up. But somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So you must know some Japanese then.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Wow.
That means good morning. That's about it.
That's about it. I was going to say, how would she, unless her parents are speaking Japanese to you? I don't know.
Have you been back since?
I have, yes. I've gone back a few times. It's just one of the most amazing countries. Yeah. And Tokyo is just incredible. The people are spectacular. They are so kind and sweet. And Kyoto is beautiful. And you have really the traditional kind of world over there. It's you should both check it out.
Yeah, it's top of my list. Yeah. Okay, so we have a Soapy hotline and some fans wrote in, and they have some specific questions for you.
Okay.
I know. This is where it gets hot.
Go ahead.
I was hoping you were ready.
Oh, no. I'm ready. I'm ready. No, we already asked her that. So it's about your character. There's only two here. Okay, what is it like working with Brooke? Because I can ask another one. I want to ask you about Project Runway. We didn't talk about that. I mean, I know that's not really why you're here, but it's pretty cool because I used to watch Project Runway. And anyway, what is it like working with Brooke Kerr and Tobiah on screen?
Tabiana.
It says Tobiah. Is it Tabiana?
Yeah, well. She plays her daughter, Trina.
Okay.
On the show, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's great. You know, they kind of pit my character and Brooke's character, Portia, on the show. They kind of pit us together since she plays Donnell's wife, Kurt, on the show. Uh-huh. So, you know, we're just constantly going at it and, you know, that kind of drama. And Tabiana is wonderful. She is a burst of sunshine and just very entertaining. So it's always fun working with them.
That's such a fun dynamic too. Adversarial, like
fighting. I know. I love it. Yeah. One of my best friends is from all my children. We were like always butting heads. Frenemies, as it were.
Yeah.
Frenemies.
Okay, wait. So talk about.
So I want to talk about Project Runway. Okay. What was that experience like? Because this must have been well before you were acting. Yeah.
Yeah. I think actually when I did Project Runway, I think I had done a movie and. Well, you know, there was a show that I did. I don't know if you guys know this with Josh Kelly, who plays Cody on our show.
Oh, yeah.
And that was my very first TV series. It was a nighttime. He is. It was like a nighttime soap.
What was it called?
Desire. It was on like some network like the CW before it was the CW or something like that.
Oh, UPN maybe?
Yes. It was UPN.
And how long did that last?
They had a series. It was I think like they called it a closed-end show. So they did 1 year and then they moved on to like
a new
different
one.
Shows. Yeah. Use some of the same
I remember
cast.
That time when they were doing it. Sort of based on like too. A Mexican telenovela.
Yeah. Anyways,
but the Project Runway, was it as intense? You know, when you watch these reality TV shows, you know, they create a lot of things that maybe not necessarily are true to what it was really like.
Yes.
But was it as intense as it appears to be?
Well, I would say for the designers, yes, there's a lot of pressure. They want you to like whip something up in a matter of hours. We actually had two separate shows. So we had a show called The Models of the Runway.
I remember that.
And then they had Project Runway. Mm-hmm. So they were filming us behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun because, and I'm still really good friends with several of the girls on the show. They're actually my best friends. They would kind of create little scenarios. And because at the time I was actually producing things with a different company. And so I knew how this all worked, how they could get in there and mess with people's heads. So you get frustrated and then you go and yell at the girl. Yeah, set it up. So they're like, okay, we can't really pull one on you, but, you know, go say something to such and such or whatever, you know. I'm like, okay. So I would go over and say something. And she'd be like, what? She said that? And then take off, you know, and then the drama would create. And so I'd kind of just sit back and enjoy it. But yeah, they pit you against each other or, you know, make these scenarios. So people get worked up and the girls are very emotional. And so there's a lot of tears and crying, which was entertaining. But on the Project Runway side, there was, I think, a lot of pressure amongst the designers and it was very stressful. They could stay up all night, you know, working on something, and then the next day they might tell them, you know, there's a twist.
Mm.
Now we're going to switch, you know, the model you're working with. And they've just fit everything to the style of. So I think there was a lot of pressure on their end, but it was fun. I mean, it was definitely an experience.
Where did that shoot? Here?
It shot here. Yeah. In LA. Yeah.
I think it started in New York and then they moved here.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you ever audition for America's Next Top Model?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I
dodged that bullet.
I was on her. She had a talk show. I would go on her talk show, on Tyra Banks' talk show. But I wasn't really a reality person. It just so happened because I was with this agency, LA Models Runway, and they had asked, like, "Hey, do you want to be on this show? They're looking for girls." And I was like, oh, "Okay, well, if they're paying, let's do it." Yeah. You know, it seems like fun, but it wasn't.
If it's a different type of thing, you're on camera, you're, you know, you never know where that's going to lead.
Yeah. And I thought that it was just, I didn't realize at the time they were going to have a whole separate show on the models as well. So I was like, oh, it's just like, I'm just modeling. They're just filming it. Like they don't care about us. It's about the designers, you know, so I'm just gonna be walking on the runway and doing the thing. And then they threw the twist in there. Actually, you guys are going to have your own show. I was like, uh-oh.
Is that contract already signed? Yeah. I'm kidding.
Wasn't prepared for that.
Well, this has been super lovely.
Yeah.
Did we get to all of our fan questions?
Is there anything you want to talk about? Oh, you know, why do you think people should watch soaps today?
I think people should watch soaps today because it is such a great escape. Whether you watch it during the daytime when it comes on live or you watch it, you know,
stream it.
It's just a nice escape. And I think with all the different type of shows that we've got going on, who doesn't love just some old school drama? Just, you know, a good slap, a good cry, just, you know, great drama, you know,
wild storylines,
you know, these unbelievable storylines. And I think it's fun. And I love how passionate the fans are with soaps. And you don't see that often with a lot of other TV shows. You have fans of the actors, but people who are invested in the shows and in the storylines, I think you really only still see that with soaps.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's this escapism for people to just, you know, step away for 30 minutes to an hour and have their favorite people and see their stories.
So, did you grow up watching?
I did, yes.
You did? Which ones did you watch?
Well, my mom was, and dad, they were big fans of All My Children. That was their show. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that was their show. And now, when I was in college, we watched Passions. So it was a full circle moment for me when I came on GH and Brooke, who was on Passions. Uh-huh. I'm like, I used to leave and like ditch my class with my roommate so we could catch Passions, and that was our show, you know. So funny. It's funny. My mom, she loves Young and the Restless. That's her show. And we had done a show, Family Feud, and it was against Young and the Restless.
Hospital. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, Mom, you could come if you want. So she came with me, and she was just all about the Young and the Restless. Oh, I could care less about us. I'm like, hello, you know, you're supporting General Hospital. She was so excited to see all of her people.
That's sweet. She must be very excited, to be honest. So,
yeah, she loves it. Well, I have a consistent job now.
Exactly. I know.
So they love it now, all of a sudden.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Lovely.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you.
You can watch General Hospital weekdays on ABC, and you can stream it on Hulu.
That's right.
And you can watch this episode as well as any other episodes of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel, and you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time.